Right, let's hear from the Word of God now. Jonathan's going to come and read to us. Thank you, Jonathan.
This morning's readings from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower from the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Thanks, Jonathan. Derek's going to come and speak to us now. Let's just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your presence with Derek. And Father, we pray that as he speaks, he would know your anointing on him and he would know the words to say and the words to leave out.
Unfortunately, a lot of the modern translations don't bring out some of the force of the words. The psalm in the old authorized version, which I grew up on, is bless the Lord. And usually a blessing comes from somebody who is of higher authority than the lesser. It's unusual for a person of lower domain to bless somebody higher. And yet here the Lord is exhorting us to bless him. What a wonderful privilege that is, and to think that we, his children, his creation, can bring blessing to him. It wasn't there's very little worth watching on the television these days, and very often we turn over to Channel 65, which is the TBN. Whatever TBN stands for, I haven't a clue. But it's a Christian program, and you get some good preachers there. And there was a chap I just turned over, and there was a chap who, a preacher, who I don't particularly like listening to. What he's got to say is okay, but I don't like his method of delivery. But he had just happened to read this psalm, these first couple of verses, and it just struck me how wonderful that those first couple of verses are. So I thought, well, as we're at the end of the year, I'd give Joseph a rest for a while. We can pick him up again next year, because I've still got about 10 or 12 points to bring out from his life. So you're going to hear a lot more about Joseph in the new year. That's if I'm asked to preach again. That's all in Susan's hands. But it struck me, at least at the end of the year, when we first moved down from Bexley Heath to Swindon in 1982, we left behind so many friends of ours who wanted to know how we were getting on. And so at the end of the year, for Christmas, with our Christmas card, we always used to send a Christmas letter explaining. I used to go back through the calendar, see what we had done, where we'd been, etc., how the children were getting on, etc. and list down all the many projects that have happened throughout the year. And I thought this was a good time to sit back and take stock of what we have done. And so that tradition has gone on for ever since we've been here. Although there's less as far as we're concerned and more of what the children are doing and what the grandchildren are doing and how they're going on in their lives. But here the Lord says, bless the Lord. Now, how are we going to bless him? And then he carries on, forget not all his benefits. And as I read through that again and listened to him just reading these few words, the progression through these few verses, these few lines, Dave asked me how many points I'd got, and I said about five. Today, so sit tight and hold your horses, and you're here for the next hour. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness, satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now those 5 points, I think there's five, might be six, are just worth meditating on and spending time just going back over all these various issues. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We are the only people, humans are the only ones that are a living soul. God spoke and the animals came into creation. And I often think, did he have any hand in modelling them? When you look at some of the animals in the zoo, you wonder why and wonder how God can see some beauty in that particular animal. But when it came to us, he formed us. He took the dust of the earth and he created our being. We are formed. I mean, if you take a look at yourself in the mirror, you think, gosh, however do people think I'm beautiful? And yet the Lord does. We are his creation. We are modelled by him. And he is. And not only are we fashioned in him, but we are we are made a living soul. None of these elements of creation have that privilege. For them it was God spoke and it happened. As Tommy Cooper would say, just like that. But with us, with what care and intricacy he formed us in his image. And I'm sure our brother Stephen, no, he's over here this time, knows the intricacy inside our bodies. We might look quite simple on the outside, but inside we are a whole can of worms, I was going to say. But we are complete, we are so wonderfully made, every part doing its work and doing its thing. How my daughter and her is a practice nurse, and her husband is a consultant, now I've got to get this right, a radiologist. So he knows what is inside, and we were talking about how do pills know where to go to relieve pain. And that's a mystery. They've got the answer. So if you want to know, just ask them. Call in at number 36, and they'll Guildford Avenue, and they'll tell you the answer. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But I can never understand. I can understand the physical bit a little bit, how it works and how it doesn't work. But what about vitamins and proteins? How do they revitalise the whole of the body, etc., etc.? And also, we not only become a physical being, but we become a spiritual being. We are a living soul, and God gave us eternal life when we were first created. And that is something absolutely wonderful. And so we are we are. We can bless the Lord, O my soul. As a created being, we can bless the Lord. The next part, he forgives our sins. As you know, Adam and Eve failed God. They didn't do what he wanted them to do and what he told them to do. Or at least they did what he told them not to do. And so they fell from grace and they fell into sin. They decided they wanted to go their own way. Excuse me. But so that's the reason why we have Christmas, why Jesus came. And of course, why we have Easter too. When he died and gave his life that we might be redeemed, that he might return to us that living, that eternal life that we lost in the Garden of Eden. John 1 verses 11 to 12 says, to them he gave the right to become his children, and we are children of God. So don't let anybody put you down. We are children, we are royalty, we are sons of the living God and daughters as well. And to have that, to be given that right to become his children, and that's paramount to our receiving all that God has provided for us, brought back into a relationship with God. And that is so wonderful, and that is the good news that we want to tell in the people of not only, well, of Lorne, where he has placed us. And because we are his children, we can claim full health and strength. He says he heals all our diseases. Firstly, he can do that by destroying the spiritual disease of the sin of rejecting God in our lives and trying to go our own way. Secondly, he is able to deal with physical abnormalities too. And that is a wonderful truth that God can divinely heal. And there are so many stories in the Bible, not only stories, but realities in the Bible where God has divinely intervened to heal somebody. And of course, the apostles too, they carried it on. When Peter and John were going to the temple, the man asked for alms, but he got legs instead. And that is something wonderful. God is God has got a wonderful sense of humour. In my own experience, I have proved this too. 6 months after I started work, I developed severe rheumatism. Could hardly move and stand up. Some people said it was rheumatic fever. I don't know whether it was or not, but I know this, that I was six weeks laying in bed with in terrific pain. The minister came and he prayed and asked God to heal me. And thank God he did. And then also later on in life, I had appendicitis. The doctor came and confirmed that, and I asked the minister to come and pray for me. He anointed me with oil and I was able to get up out of bed and go down and eat a nice roast lamb dinner. Absolutely gorgeous. It was worth the appendicitis just to eat the dinner. But God is wonderful. He does heal today and he can still heal all our diseases. And that is part of the benefits that God has given to us. And it's something we need to remember. And of course, God has placed these gifts of healing in his church. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 9, it tells us there that God has given to us these gifts of healing. And of course, in James 5 and verse 14, those that are sick, if you call for the elders of the church, they will come and anoint with oil and they will be healed. It's something we need to remember. And it's one of the benefits that God has given to each one of us. And of course, as we have had in our text throughout the year, in Romans 12, verse 2, thirdly, he can heal by transforming our very minds to think his thoughts, so that we might do his deeds. The next point is he redeems our life from destruction. That's the eternal life that he gives to us when we come to acknowledge him as our Saviour and our Lord. When we were first created, we had eternal life, but we know the story. We disobeyed God's command and were destined to total destruction. But God so loved his creation that he provided a remedy for us, which without destroying our free will, we can take or leave. Thank God for those who have taken his benefits. But there's so many people in the world today who have just ignored and just refused to accept the eternal life that God offers to them. I'm always surprised at the number of Christians who try to hang on to this life. So many of them, as soon as they are ill, they run to the doctor, and especially the elderly. They try to hang on to life as much as far as they can possibly do. But I read in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23 that to be with the Lord is far better. And if ever I get to the, I always tell my children and my wife, for goodness sake, if I get to that stage where I can't be managed, then for goodness sake, shoot me, because I want to go. I want to see my Lord, my precious Lord. Also, for generations, there has been the theological debate as to whether or not Christians will suffer the Great Tribulation. We may think that things are bad now, but the seven-year period of time is a time when the wrath of God is poured out on the unbelieving, and we are certainly not subject to that. So many Christians mix up the second and the third return of the Lord, but before the tribulation there is the rapture, and that's what we're looking for, the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third return is after the millennium, during the tribulation, you get the wrath of God being poured out, and we are not subject to the wrath of God. And that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, we are not appointed to wrath. We don't have to suffer the great tribulation that is coming upon this world. And we can rejoice in that. And then it says we are exhorted to bless the Lord. As I say, so many versions translate that word bless to happy or praise. But it is more than that. If you return back to the old story of Joseph and Jacob, when he called his children to him to bless them, we read that he had so much to say about them. So much prediction about where their life was going to be. But to bless, it means much more than being happy. Happiness is derived from things that happen, but to bless is to enrich, to strengthen, to encourage and to empower. The world these days lives on benefits. We live in a culture that is full of benefits. State pension, widow's benefit, bereavement benefit, child benefit, job seeker's allowance, employment support allowance, incapacity benefit, disabled benefit, carer's allowance, attendance allowance, Christmas bonus, which is 10 quid for us older folks, winter fuel allowance, that's a bit more. And then there's the age related. Just because we're over 80, we get an extra 25p a week. Isn't that marvellous? Absolutely wonderful. And they take 5p off and tax. And of course, not forgetting the free television allowance for those over 75. And of course, there's always the free bus pass, which is super. Saves a lot of time on the buses, actually. All these benefits are certainly there, not just to make us happy, but to enrich our living, to warm us, to nourish us with food, to keep us dry, to bring a certain culture into our lives through the BBC, if you can call it culture. But all of these are subject to the fluctuation of the economy, That's a dreadful word, isn't it? Everything derives around the economy these days. And also the whim of the local council and the whim of the local government, whatever that may be, they give it with one hand and they take it back with another. But the scripture reads that he daily loads us with benefits. And then I just listed down some of the benefits: our parents, home, family, friends, worship, the freedom to worship, birds, taste, colour, God's word, health, spouse, reason, learning, fish, smell, talk. What would the ladies do without being able to talk? Perhaps I better shut up. But yes, it's a bit hilarious. Yes, we'd get nowhere if we couldn't talk. A sound mind. I think it's so tragic. Our son's mother-in-law is in a home, and it's so sad to go and see. And she talks about various things that just don't happen. They're just not there. She hasn't got a sound mind any longer. But so we can be thankful that we do have a sound mind, and we can reason and we can talk. And finance, employment, rain, wind, touch, hearing, all these are benefits that the Lord gives to us day by day. And so let us come back to our text. We can bless the Lord by remembering all these benefits. And to help you for December's prayer list, I've just headed everything, rather than pray for, I've just headed everything: give thanks for yourself. Give thanks that he has chosen you. Give thanks that Jesus has brought his peace into our lives. Give thanks for our family. Give thanks for our health. Give thanks for education. Give thanks for all the elements: sunshine, wind, rain and snow. I've listed a few down, but it would be an interesting exercise to just go through the alphabet and list something down where the Lord has given you his benefit, a benefit that the Lord has given you, so that you can return that praise and worship to him. God bless you. Thanks for listening. You can talk now.
Oh, thanks, Derek.